Welcome to the Sterling Foursquare Church podcast. Our mission is to offer hope for the broken, lives that are thriving, the equipping of believers, and the launching of leaders. More info can be found at sterlingfoursquare.com. Thank you for joining us today.
Hey, it is my privilege and pleasure to be here this morning. I did not play guitar today, but I can just tell you how much I enjoyed being on the front row worshiping with our worship team. My heart was so filled up. And just watching them lead, I just want to encourage you guys, the people on this platform are passionate about Jesus and they love the Lord. So follow them. When they lead you, follow them because they want to take you to a place into the presence of God. So go with them, okay? Because I went and it was amazing this morning. So last Sunday, Pastor Ben introduced a new sermon series called Your Monday is Showing. And it's kind of a comical sermon series. If you look at the graphics we're using, it's like the, oop, your Monday is showing. And I think that we all kind of get what that means. If you've ever been in church, you understand this dilemma between the Sunday self and then the you, the rest of the week. And so Ben introduced that idea and he talked about what it means to contend for wholeness every day of the week. And that as a church, we don't want to just pretend that we are healthy and whole and holy on Sunday morning. We actually want to step into that every day of the week. And so that's what the sermon series is all about. The good news this morning, and it's also the kind of the bad news, is that this sermon series relates to every single person in this room because every single person here has a Monday that shows. It doesn't matter how long you've been walking with Jesus, we've all got areas of our life that the Holy Spirit wants to deal with and that the Lord wants to work on. So if you're sitting in this room today, this message is for you, all right? So just be prepared for what the Lord wants to speak to you today. At C Group on Tuesday night, C Group is our connect group that meets in our home. We were all gathering together and we were talking about the message from last Sunday because that's what we do in connect group is we process the message and talk about it. And we were all kind of laughing. One person said, my Monday starts to show up on Sunday night. It doesn't even take until Monday morning for my Monday to show up. And I think we can all kind of relate to that. And another a group was there. And it was a mom and a daughter. It was a mom and her 11-year-old daughter. And the mom said, my daughter was messing with me all week long. And she was like, Mom, your Monday is showing. And she would say back to her 11-year-old daughter, your Monday is showing. And so, you know, it's just kind of like this fun, comical little thing. But the truth is we've all got that Monday that we're dealing with, and usually the people that see it the most are our family and the people that we do life with. Your Monday could be the really, really big stuff that kind of is the glaringly obvious stuff that we all would kind of think of when we think of the Monday stuff. And the scripture tells us that those are the things that are super obvious. In Galatians 5:19 through 21, it says, the acts of the flesh are obvious. It's sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So that's a super long list, and it's all the big stuff that you think of when you think of the Monday stuff, right? It says that they are obvious, and that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And, you know, regardless of what the world tells us about the way that we're supposed to live our life, Scripture says that we know in our heart of hearts innately those things that are not going to lead to the kingdom of God. But there's also parts in our life that might seem like small things that are also our Mondays. So you might be listening to this list and you're like, impurity, debauchery, you're like, I don't even know what that is, but I know I don't have it, okay? You're making a list. Witchcraft, hatred, jealousy, all this stuff, and you're thinking, check, good to go, you know? And that's a lot of times what we do in church, is you're sitting there and you're like, well, at least I'm not like that person. At least I don't have that. I'm doing all right. And that's really not the heart that we need to approach the Monday issue with, but really the heart is we need to take a moment, let the Holy speak to us, and assess in our heart of hearts what's really going on inside of us. Because there's also small things that we can just keep under the surface and not choose to deal with, but actually are derailing our life of fruitfulness for the Lord and derailing the wholeness that he wants us to walk out in our lives and that holiness. And I think that a lot of times those things can seem kind of inconsequential in the grand scheme of things, but those are the things that the enemy can use to keep us from truly walking into wholeness. perhaps the things that you're dealing with that seem smaller, maybe they're unknown to you. Maybe there's issues in your life that you're not even aware of. Sometimes you become so accustomed to them that you actually don't even see them anymore. And those are called blind spots. And we are blind to them personally, but the truth is that everybody else around us that knows us can see them clear as day. And in my life, God has been bringing some of those things to the surface as we've been talking about this in our sermon series and over the past few months. And sometimes God just does that. He just takes a moment and reveals something to you that you thought was totally fine, brings it to the surface and says, hey, we need to deal with this. And for me, that happens a lot of times when I listen back to voice memos on my phone. So I've got my iPhone and I've got the voice memo app. How many of you guys have that? The voice memo, Rose says no. The high-tech people have it, yeah. And so I use it a lot because I always have these song ideas in my head. So I feel like the Holy Spirit will drop a song in my heart, and so I want to record it real quick. So I'll be driving in my car and I'll sing this song into my phone. But it always seems like when I'm singing this song into my phone that from the back seat is right when my kids want to interrupt me. I'm trying to have a Holy Spirit time here, and they're interrupting me with things that they need. And so I'll listen back to my voice memo, and you can hear as I'm singing this song to Jesus that the tension is rising in my voice. And then you'll hear me in the middle go, hold on, I'm trying to sing. And and then you listen back to it, your amazing song, and you go, oh my, like, I do not talk nice to my kids when I'm frustrated. And so it's in those moments that you kind of get a reality check and a blind spot is revealed and you say, wow, like I need to deal with how I'm talking to my kids. I need to deal with how I deal with anger when it rises up in frustration. You know what I mean? So those are those things that God just sometimes reveals to you, and you have to take a moment and confront those things. And so when we're confronted with our stuff, whether your stuff is the big stuff listed in Galatians, or whether your stuff seems like the super small stuff that doesn't seem like a big deal, or whether it was the stuff that was invisible and now you've suddenly had it revealed to you, you've got a few choices. One is if it's revealed in the context of community and life with others, you can either choose to bail out of community and say, this is getting too hard and too messy, I don't want to deal with it. Or you can choose to ignore what has been presented in your life and say, you know what, it's not that bad. And the work involved to deal with it is going to be too hard. I'm just going to let it ride. I'm just going to leave it there. Or the third option is you can choose to deal with your stuff. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. Amen? We're going to deal with our stuff. You know, sometimes we're too embarrassed of it to be willing to admit it. We're like, oh, if only they knew the stuff that I have in my life, if only they knew what I'm really dealing with. But I'll just say this, and you need to hear this morning. The shame is not in having stuff in your life. The shame really is in not dealing with it when it comes up. Because we all have stuff in our lives, and really the only thing that's going to keep you from walking into fruitfulness is not dealing with it. If you choose to deal with it and admit that there's brokenness and areas that need to be addressed, that's where there's hope, because there's always hope on the other side of that. Always. Always hope on the other side. The shame is just in not dealing with it. All right? So let's talk about our stuff. Sounds good? Yeah, I can tell you're excited. First of all, I just want to say, if you have a Bible today, get it out, open it, read it, follow along with me. And the other thing is take notes today. You've got a bulletin with like this super small little place on the back. It's never adequate space for me. So I would encourage you to bring a notebook with you, even to church on a regular basis, and write stuff down, because I believe that God's going to speak and he wants to give you stuff to take home with you and to study, okay? So get ready. But before we look at how to deal with the stuff of our lives, which is what we're going to talk about today, is how to deal with it, I want to take some time to look at what actually happens when we accept Jesus into our hearts. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it tells us, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So him is Jesus. God made Jesus, who had no sin, he was the pure and perfect sacrifice, to be a sin offering for us, so that in him we could become the righteousness of God. So this amazing exchange happened when you got saved. God took all of the sin, past, present, and future, that was on your life, and he took it away, and he put in you his righteousness, the righteousness of God. And now when God looks at you, God sees Christ. He sees that pure, spotless sacrifice. So when you accepted Jesus, this is what happened. You're not viewed as guilty anymore, and you've been made righteous. However, where we get confused is when we don't properly understand this new identity and how it's expressed in our lives. We know conceptually from Scripture that we're now righteous, but how is this actually expressed and how is this lived out in our life? And the reason that we still struggle after we get saved is because we now have a choice in our lives, okay? So when you get saved, you now have a choice between the flesh and between the spirit. And so let's talk about what flesh is, because that's kind of a weird, vague word. Flesh, what the heck is that? Flesh is the selfish side of me or you that feels perpetually empty and unsatisfied. It does whatever it can in its own power to fill the emptiness and satisfy the void with anything and everything short of God. So that's your flesh. It's this insatiable appetite that you have inside of you because you know that you're empty, and so you seek all these ways to fill it, everything short of God. That's the flesh. The spirit is that new creation that God puts inside of you when you get saved, that desires after the things of God and longs for him and longs for relationship with him. It's the side that says, I know that I'm empty, and the only thing that can fill me is Jesus and his presence, okay? So when you get saved, you now have a choice between those things. Before you're saved, before you accept Jesus in your heart, the only option that you have is the flesh, that insatiable appetite that is filled with anything and everything short of God. You accept Jesus in your heart, and now you have a choice. His spirit comes and lives inside of you, but you're not just magically perfect. You have a choice to make. You can choose between those two things. And only up until you get to heaven will you have that choice. When you get to heaven, good news, you don't have the flesh anymore. All you'll have is the spirit. It's going to be awesome. But hey, we still live on this earth, okay? So that's the status that we're at this point, once we accept Jesus. In Galatians 5:17, it talks about this dilemma that we're facing. It says, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. Okay, so this is what we're wrestling with. When you get saved, you don't magically become a robot that can just do exactly what you're supposed to. There's a choice involved, all right? Once you get saved, you have a choice between the spirit and walking in wholeness, but the flesh is there as well, and there's this constant struggle, and there's this battle between selfishness and selflessness, brokenness and wholeness, conforming to the world or being transformed by the renewing of your minds, pursuing after the temporal things of this world or pursuing after the eternal things of this kingdom. That's the choice that we have, okay? But here's where so many Christians get confused, is they have faulty perceptions about how this plays out in their life, okay? So I want to address two big faulty perceptions that I've seen so many Christians wrestle with that keep them from pursuing the things of God in their life, that hamstring them because their minds are not clear about what is true in their walk with the Lord, okay? So the first one has to do with confused personhood, all right? If you don't properly understand the parts that make up who you are as a person, you will not be able to properly address problems and issues when they arise in your life, because we have issues, okay? But if you don't understand those parts and how they're expressed, you're not going to understand how to deal with them, okay? So here's what you need to know. We are, as humans, we are triune beings, okay? There's three parts of us. There's a spirit, there's a soul, and there's a body. You might want to write those down. Maybe you're like, I knew that, so I don't need to write it down. This is really important to know, okay? There's three parts of us, spirit, soul, and body. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, now may the God of peace make you holy in every way. May your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus comes again. So let's talk about what those three parts are. The spirit. The spirit is the part of us that is regenerated or made new when we place our faith in Jesus Christ. All right? We call this being born again or saved because this is the part of our life that is immediately and miraculously made new when they accept Jesus. Your eternal status and address is forever changed when that spirit becomes made whole, okay? But you also have your soul and your body. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your mind is your ability to think. That's your intellect. Your will is your ability to choose, and your emotions are your ability to feel. It's your personality. It's what makes you unique on the inside. And then you have your body. It's your physical self. It's the container, so to speak, for your spirit and your soul. It's what makes you unique on the outside. Okay, so you have your soul on the inside that makes you unique, your body on the outside that makes you unique, okay? Where we get confused as Christians is a lot of times we separate ourselves into just two parts. We just think of ourselves as this is the inside me and this is the outside me. And so if the inside me has been made new, then why am I still struggling so much? What is up? Like, why can I do this thing on Sunday morning and be really, really good in this hour period of time, and then when I walk out the door, I am so jacked up? What is up? And we all face that tension. Like, why can't I do this thing? If I'm made new, why am I struggling? You know what I mean? Anybody? Yeah, awesome. Well, here's the thing. I think that we understand that when we get saved that the physical side of us doesn't just magically change. For instance, when you say you walk down the aisle, down to the altar to accept Jesus in your heart, like old school style, you come down to the altar, you repent, your sins are forgiven, you're made new. Here's the thing. The same tubby tummy that walked down to the aisle to accept Jesus in your heart is the same tubby tummy that's going to walk back to your seat with you in the physical sense, right? The same cellulite on your thighs that walked your butt down to the aisle is the same cellulite that's going to walk back. I'm just being honest, okay? If you want to deal with the physical side of you that is tubby, you're going to have to do some work. It's just a tubby temple now that's walking back to your seat because you got the Holy Spirit inside of you, all right? If you want to deal with the physical side of you, you're going to have to put some work and discipline in. You're going to have to stop eating Rocky Road ice cream at 10 o'clock every night, yeah? You're going to have to get up at 5 a.m. and go running, yeah? I'm just being honest, okay? We understand that in the physical sense, but the same actually applies to our soul as well. A lot of times we have broken areas and problem areas in our souls that need to be addressed and worked on and walked into wholeness, that don't just magically get perfect because we've accepted Jesus, okay? We understand this in the physical sense. We have to apply this into the soul element as well. And I'll be the first to tell you, I believe in miracles. I believe that Jesus can instantaneously change every part of you all at once. He did that through scripture. He's the same yesterday and today and forever, and he can do it today. However, sometimes there's a journey into wholeness that's needed, okay? So I want to talk about that journey into wholeness today. But specifically in your soul, sometimes there's some things that need to be addressed. And here's just a couple of them that I thought of as I was preparing for this. There could be issues in your past that need to be resolved. Issues where there was a root placed in your life through something that happened to you at a young age or through like a traumatic experience that needs to be dealt with through Christian counseling or something like that. Something that actually needs to be addressed and it needs to be healed. Maybe there's hurts, habits, and hang-ups in your life that need to be addressed in a safe recovery group type setting. Where you need to address these things, where you just perpetually keep going in this direction and you can't figure out why. Maybe there's emotional intelligence that needs to be developed in your life. And emotional intelligence just has to do with being self-aware of kind of how you come across to people and how you handle yourself and being aware of people around you and knowing how to have empathy and knowing how to deal with conflict. Those are just practical things that on the inside of you, a lot of times they need to be addressed. Just because you have now accepted Jesus doesn't mean that you're just like this awesome person inside. There's some development that's needed, okay? So just as problem areas can be in the physical side, there can also be problem areas in your soul. There's a journey into wholeness that's needed with Jesus. And with Jesus is the key part. And that's where the second misconception lies that I want to address this morning. And that has to do with confused responsibility. Like, whose job is it to do this work? And I see two extremes expressed a lot of times in Christian lives. One extreme is like the it's all God's responsibility extreme, and the other extreme is it's all my responsibility extreme, okay? So the it's all God's responsibility extreme is, I would call it fatalism. And fatalism is this idea that, oh, let go and let God. It's an over-spiritualization of not taking personal responsibility. It's believing that everything is predetermined and that you have no say in the matter. So this is the person that they get saved and they're like, all right, Jesus, take the wheel. And then they just sit there and and just expect Jesus to do all the work for them. And I think we've kind of experienced that and seen that. The other extreme is what I would call narcissism. And it's this idea that Jesus did his part, now it's my turn. It's like, okay, Jesus, you died on the cross for me, baton handoff, all right, now it's my job. And this idea that Jesus is on the sidelines like, good job, good luck, you know? We just think it's all on us to try to fix it and make ourselves whole again. And the actual psychological definition of narcissism is extreme selfishness with a grandiose view of one's own talents, ability, and responsibility. Okay? But we have a lot of Christian narcissists that think it's all on them to get their stuff figured out. Okay? So you have these two extremes. And the sweet spot is right in the middle. And that has to do with a partnership with the Lord. It's us with God working together to walk into the wholeness that he has for us. It's cooperation and collaboration and joint participation in his plans and purposes for our life. Galatians 5:25, love this passage. It's in B, the second half, and it says, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Love this, because the picture is so clear and so vivid about the type of life that we're supposed to live and how we're supposed to walk out wholeness with Jesus. It's almost like this arm-in-arm thing where he's right here and I'm right here, and he takes a step and I take a step, and he takes another step and I take a step, and I get a little bit in front. I'm like, oh wait, no, he's back here, I want to come back here. And then sometimes I get behind and he's going forward, he's like, come on, come with me. And you're arm in arm with him, and you're walking with him, walking in step with his Spirit in a very practical sense in your daily life. Another passage that I absolutely love is from it's Matthew 11:28 through 30. It's that come to me, all you who are weary passage. But in the Message version, it says it so beautifully. It says, walk with me and work with me. This is Jesus talking to us. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Unforced rhythms of grace. I love this language because of this element of rhythm. To me, when I think of it, I think of like a dance, where he's leading us. And if you've ever danced where the leader kind of takes a step and you respond and you go with them, and there's this flow to it and there's beauty to it, there's this creative element to it. And I believe that's the type of life that Jesus has called us to live, where we walk with him and we learn from him and we work with him and we respond to him, and there's a grace to it. There's not a work and an obligation, but there's this beautiful grace involved to this relationship with Jesus, walking it out. Amen. You know, the truth is that Jesus wants to do life with us. That's his desire. That's actually why Jesus came, was to bring us back into relationship with God. He wants to have a relationship with us, not just to come in here on Sunday and sing songs and go out and live your own life, but walking with you and working with you every day, every moment, responding to him. He wants to do life with us. In fact, he delights in it. It says in Psalm 37:23-24, it said, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. Man, I love that. He holds them by the hand. When I think of that, I think of when you're walking on ice, really slippery, which we all get right now, and you're holding somebody's arm and they're helping you, and you slip and you start to stumble, but they're right there, and so they pick you back up, and you're not going to fall because you have that person walking with you and holding you up. That's the picture I get. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. Man, that's the type of relationship I want to have with the Lord, and it's available to us. We just have to respond to him. It's a relationship where the Lord nudges and we move, and he speaks and we respond, and we work with him and he with us. And so those are the two things that I wanted to correct, is those faulty viewpoints about the responsibility of whose responsibility it is and the parts that make us who we are and what happens when we get saved. So the question is how do I live this out? How do I do this? What do I need to do? Because I'm still struggling inside. So, okay, I've been regenerated, and I have a choice between the flesh and the spirit. I'm a triune person, spirit, soul, and body. I'm in partnership with the Spirit of God. I get all that, okay? How do I actually do this? When is it ever going to get easier for me? Why is it such a struggle? What's wrong with me? that lady over there has her act together. Man, she's at church every Sunday doing her thing. I'm sure she, like, hears the voice of God clearly every day of her life. What's wrong with me? Why can't I get my stuff figured out? Why is it so hard? Has anybody ever felt that way before? Anybody? Kimberly. Thank you, Kimberly. Honesty. Yes, I feel that way. I feel that way. Like, why is it still hard when I wake up on Monday morning? Because, here we go, short answer, God has a plan for your life, and the enemy is going to do everything he can to stop it. Okay? That's the short answer. You have to get over this fallacy that the Christian life is supposed to be some magical, easy ride to heaven. Because it's not. Okay? A thriving, abundant life in Christ does not mean an easy, comfortable, skate-through life. It's not a genie in a bottle kind of an existence. It's not a magic carpet ride to heaven. Like, all right, Jesus, take it, and I'm just going to sit back. There's a struggle involved to it because the enemy is going to do everything he can to derail you at every cost because there's a plan for your life. The Lord wants it to come to pass, and the enemy doesn't because there's a purpose involved. There's going to be exponential impact that God has for your life, and the enemy does not want to see that happen. Plain and simple, okay? All of the analogies in Scripture of the Christian life are active ones. There's soldiers, there's athletes, there's farmers. There's a battle involved, there's determination, there's work. It's fighting the good fight, finishing the race, sowing the seed. It's a struggle. There's work involved, okay? There's work involved. Here's the deal. Even the Apostle Paul struggled. Okay? So when you look across the room, you're like, what's up with that person? Why do they have it so easy? The Apostle Paul, like the epitome of the dude in Scripture who had his stuff together and was pursuing after Jesus, he talks about his struggle, okay? So Romans 7, this is him being as real and honest and vulnerable as you can possibly get, and it's in Scripture for all time, okay? Romans 7, 15. This is Paul talking. He says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. For I have the desire to do what is good. Verse 18. But I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. 22. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am! Exclamation mark. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Okay, so legit. Paul's got some struggles. He's trying to figure out his stuff, and he writes it down for you guys to hear. I love it because it's like, hey, maybe it's not so bad that I'm dealing with this stuff, right? But I love that it culminates into this question. There's a crescendo element where you can hear the passion as he writes it. And then he says, who's going to rescue me from this body of death? Who's going to free me? Who's going to set me free from this thing that I'm struggling with? And the answer comes in verse 25. And this is the crescendo. This is the high point. And he says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord! Exclamation mark. I love the punctuation because he's saying this is the answer. Guess what? Jesus is the answer. Did you know that? It's the Sunday school answer. That's all I've got for you today. Jesus is the answer to the struggle that you're having inside. He's the answer to allowing him to live in and through us. That's how you're going to walk into wholeness. It goes on to say in Romans 8, 1 through 2, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. So in Christ, we have been set free. We have what we need to walk into the wholeness that is available to us, okay? We have been set free. I'm gonna go on in Romans 8, 9 through 17. This is what's available to us. It says in 9, it says, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And then in 11, it says, the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. Okay, so the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead is living inside of you, okay? the greatest miracle of all time, Jesus being raised from the dead, that changed the course of human history, that changed the path for all humanity, that same Spirit is living on the inside of you and is walking with you and wants to work with you in your life, okay? And then in verse 15, it says, you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him, we cry, Abba, Father. That's Daddy God. We are now God's children. We are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. And so we are God's children, and everything that God has given to Jesus is ours because we are heirs of that in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. So we are sons and we are daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's given us everything that we need to walk in holiness. But not only that, in verse 26 it says, the Spirit intercedes for us when we are weak and we don't know what to pray. The Spirit intercedes for us, so he's fighting for us and praying for us. In verse 28 it says that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. In verse 31, that if God is for us, who can be against us? In verse 34, it says, Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. So we have the Spirit of God interceding for us. We have Christ Jesus at the right hand of God interceding for us. We have the Father God who calls us his children and says, come to me. Call me Daddy God. Come and get what you need from me. I'm here for you. And then in verse 37, it says, so in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the power of God who we serve. That is the power of our God. And that's just Romans 8. There's a way bigger Bible than that. Isn't that incredible? That's what's available to us, and that's how we walk out the wholeness that is ours in Christ Jesus, when we realize that through Christ Jesus that we have been set free, and that through his Holy Spirit that we have everything we need because the power of the Holy Spirit is inside of us, and that we have Father God who says, come to me, get what you need from me. You're my children. Come and get what you need from me. And we have the Holy Spirit interceding for us, and we have Christ Jesus interceding for us. And so if God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. That is the truth of his word. So we have a God that rescued us, redeemed us, paid the price for us, set us free, gave us his Spirit, made us his children, is interceding for us, and is fighting on our behalf. Amen. Come on. Amen. That's the power of God. So if God is for you, who can be against you? Rise up and step into the plans and purposes that God has for you. Let us throw off everything that hinders in Hebrews 12 and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author, the pioneer, and perfecter of our faith. That is what we're called to do. Contending for wholeness is about having boldness, courage, and tenacity that says, no matter what, I'm going to pursue after the things of God. It's holding fast to him, saying, I will not give up, I will not give in, I will fight for the things of the Lord in my life, because I know that he fights for me and prepares the way before me. It's about trusting in God so much with all that you are that it doesn't matter whether you ever see the results that you want, that still you will not relent and you won't give up. Even if you're on your deathbed and you haven't seen all the promises of God fulfilled, that you still hold fast, because you know that our God reigns from everlasting to everlasting, and this thing is way bigger than you. It is about generations and kingdom impact that is far beyond what you could ever know or ever see. And this thing that is not about you, but it is about what God wants to do through you. God has plans and purposes for your life, and he wants to use you in a mighty way. He wants to use every single person in this room. He has a plan and a purpose for. He's created you for a reason, and he wants to see you step into that. But you have a choice to make. You have a choice to make about how far you're going to go, how far you're going to pursue the Lord. If you pursue him, he's going to do the work. And you may never even know the impact that your life made. But I can tell you it's going to make an impact. It is. Amen. Let's contend for that. Let's stand together. Worship team, you can come on up. This past week, the Reverend Billy Graham passed away. And I think a lot of us probably took some time to kind of reflect on, wow, like, what kind of life am I living, you know, when the reality of that hits? I think I read that his messages were heard by over 2.2 billion people once his message spread. And I thought, gosh, like, how, I'm never going to have an impact like that. Like, you know, do you guys feel that way? You know, the comparison thing? But the Lord just reminded me that it doesn't matter whether you're a Billy Graham or whether you're a stay-at-home mom that's raising a Billy Graham. You know, God wants to use your life for impact, and it's not necessarily up to you to define what that's going to look like. It's just up to you to say, yes, God, I respond to you. And so I want to just take a moment right now to respond. I opened up the message this morning with a statement that we've all got a Monday, and I believe that God wants to deal with it today, right here and right now. And it just takes honesty and humility to say, God, here's my stuff. It might not be pretty, but it's yours, and I want you to deal with it. And so we're going to do that right now. I just want to encourage you, just let's bow our heads, close our eyes, just take a moment with the Lord. You might be in here right now, and as you're listening to this message, you're thinking, you know what? I don't think I've ever actually taken the first step to make Jesus my Lord and Savior. And if that's the case, I want to just give you an opportunity to do that this morning. God's word tells us really clearly. It says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved, that your eternal status will immediately and miraculously be changed, and that you'll be able to begin walking into that wholeness that he has for you. So in just a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that if that's the case. Maybe you're in here and you've accepted Jesus in your heart and you made that choice to make him your Savior, but you've never fully stepped into the plans and purposes that he's had for you. You just kind of sat there and stayed there. Maybe right here in this moment, the Lord wants to give you an opportunity to step out and to take a step of faith and say, Jesus, I'm all yours right here, right now. Take my life, use it for your glory, whatever that looks like. And maybe you've been walking with Jesus for years and years and years and years, and there's been this thing that he's kind of brought up to you over the years in different seasons of your life, and you've just swept it under the rug, and chosen to ignore it and not deal with it. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to deal with that right now. So right now, we're just going to pray for those three things. Just right where you're at, let the Holy Spirit minister to your heart. As he nudges you, I want to encourage you to respond. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are good, that you are faithful, that you are constant, that you are powerful, that you are tender. You care about every need of our hearts. And so right now, we just present those before you, and we say, Lord Jesus, it's yours. For the people in this room who have never accepted you right now, just pray that as they respond to you in this moment in their heart of hearts, that you would take that heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Spirit, come and do a work in them. Come and make them new right now in Jesus' name. For the people in this room who have held back, right now we turn our lives over to you and we say, it's yours, Lord. Take every part of us. We give you our lives, Lord. For those who have a particular area that they've just chosen to ignore and push under the rug, right now, we offer it to you. Even if you want to just put your hands out in front of you and offer that to him as a sign, saying, Lord, I give this to you. I need you to walk with me and work with me. Respond to you right now, in Jesus' name. Lord, we know that you are faithful and good, and that you will not leave us where we're at, but as we offer these things to you, that you will take them, and that you will give us the strength and power that we need through your Spirit to walk into the wholeness that you have for us in these areas. We submit them to you, and we say right here, right now, have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name, Amen. Before we leave today, I just want to give you guys an opportunity. If there's something that the Lord's really doing in your heart, whether you do want to respond to him for the first time, or whether there's just an area that you really feel like you'd like to get prayer, we've got a prayer team available at the back of the room today on my right and your left. Take some time. Let's not just go through the motions of church and say, okay, I did my church checkbox and now I'm going to go out. But take some time in this moment to get prayer, please. The people back there want to pray with you. Even if you're not sure what the area is, but you just know, I just need somebody to pray with me right now. I don't want to just walk out of here and pretend like nothing happened. Go and get prayer today, okay? And if you've made the decision to accept Jesus for the first time today at our connections counter, we have a new believer packet we want to put into your hands, just some tools and resources to help you begin walking out your journey with Jesus. Bob and Kimberly are going to be there. They'd love to talk to you and put that in your hands. All right? Amen. I've got some action steps, okay? So snap a picture of these. Number one, choose either Romans 8 or Psalm 37, both awesome passages about what is yours in walking with Jesus, or with the Lord. Read it this week a couple of times. Number two, underline or jot down all the parts that jump out to you in your new journal that you're going to get. And number three, choose one verse to memorize and meditate on throughout this week. Amen?